morning. Happy Sunday. Happy snowy Sunday. We're gonna start the message here. 10 o'clock. Get comfy. Get a nice warm cup of coffee, tea, hot chocolate, whatever your beverage of choice is this morning. All right. It's 10 o'clock. We'll go ahead and get started. This brings back memories of during COVID times when we were doing our Saturday, well, I was doing Saturday mornings, but people were doing morning devotionals, and it's different when you're not looking at faces and being able to see reactions and things like that to when you're talking. So I'll do my best to keep the topic moving. It's 10 o'clock. I hope everybody's safe and cozy and warm at home. We know Scott is because he's down in Tampa, so he's plenty warm. Hopefully you're enjoying the AC at this point. But it looks like winter has finally arrived. It's kind of, the winters as of late have reminded me more of like in Game of Thrones when they started saying winter is coming in season one, and then it finally came in season five or six, whatever it was, and you know, here it is, February, and we're finally getting dumped on with snow. But we're Mainers, so we can't complain. This is why we live here. We live for the seasons and the snow, and that kind of what makes us maniacs, you know? We're strong enough to handle this kind of stuff, so. Welcome. This is the second week in a row. We've unfortunately had to cancel in-person worship because of a snowstorm. Scott's been off on his kind of planning retreat slash vacation, begins vacation. So next week, Victoria will be preparing a message called Love is a Battlefield. Joking. But if next week, next Sunday is canceled for the third week in a row because of a snowstorm, we kind of sent a message to Scott that he can't have all the in-person worships. He needs to allow us to do it. So we've started a hashtag PastorGate, and Scott threw out hashtag conspiracy, me, only me. So we're going to hopefully be able to meet in person next week. But thank you for those who are able to kind of join us this morning, spend some time with me and in the good word. So I'll start with a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we're able to meet online this morning. We thank you for the technology that makes this possible so that we can still meet together as a church body and spend some time in the Word, your Word, Lord. So we pray, Lord, that you use me this morning to share some of the truths from the Bible and the truth from your word, so that we can prepare our minds for the battle that goes on every day. In your precious name we pray, amen. Okay, so I've titled my message this morning, Your Mind is a Battlefield. I'm going to walk through some different scriptures this morning and how they relate to our minds. Ways to align our thoughts and our minds with the Spirit, which lives within each of us. You know, we must practice and prepare our minds for battle every single day. Satan is always lurking, and he always has every intention of building strongholds in our minds that prevent us from living a life full of joy and peace that Christ Jesus offers us. So how the brain works. This is my understanding of how the brain works. Inwardly, we have these little people that work at a control panel in our brains. They use our emotions like joy and sadness, fear, anger, anxiety, envy, disgust, embarrassment, and ennui, which is boredom. which is this one here. And they control our outwardly actions. This is a picture that was taken under a microscope of the brain, so you can see that. No, I'm just kidding. Quick little infographic of our brains. We have some different parts of our brains, and I'm not going to pretend to understand this slide, but I wanted to point out that there are different multiple sections of the brain that each have their own functions. They each play a part in making the body feel, move, regulate, see, and basically be alive. The brain stem, temporal lobe, frontal lobe, parietal lobe, probably said that wrong, occipital lobe, and our cerebellum. Again, as you can see, there's different pieces of the brain that are responsible for different things within our body and control us. But our minds control everything. The last slide was a very basic infographic of the brain, but it's a very complex organ, in the body. As I mentioned before, it controls everything from our body, for our body, and there's still so much to learn about it. It really is incredible the power that the mind has on our bodies. I was once hypnotized at a campground. Last year we were camping at Lake Pemaquid Campground, and they had a hypnotist come by, and I was coerced into joining the show, and I wasn't convinced that it worked in the moment. When I was actually up on stage, I thought to myself, like, I'm doing this for fun. But after the fact, I looked back on the experience and I realized that I probably wouldn't have done all the things that I did had my brain not been in a hypnosis state. It wasn't, I think, what I expected for how my brain was affected. But after the show was done, my daughter came up to me all upset because how I was acting was so far outside my character. She was concerned that I wasn't going to be the same dad anymore. You know, I was doing things like acting like a gorilla, singing Shania Twain, I Feel Like a Woman. For the record, I think I owned it. But and then I was also speaking gibberish. You know, it was just a very weird thing. So in that state of mind, my mind was able to persuade my body to do all these actions and movements. Points to anyone who can reference this this movie. This is a screenshot. It's from a futuristic sci-fi type movie, where in the movie they have the premise that we only use 10% of our brains, that we're only able to access 10% of our brain function. And in this movie, there's some pharmaceutical drug that allows you to open up and see and use 100% of your brain. But scientists actually say that the 10% usage thing is a myth. They believe we use all of our brain all day, every day. They just don't really have a full understanding of it yet. I pose this question, who or what controls the mind if our minds control everything? That was kind of a interesting thought that I had when I was putting this message together. The answer is kind of obvious, but it's us. We have the choice to control what our brain does with the thoughts that enter it. Having said that, I do want to say I recognize that there are some medical conditions out there that don't allow you to completely control your mind and your thoughts. So what I'm referring to, of course, is the choice to control what we allow to direct our thoughts and emotions, and not let Satan take hold of our life, a life that Christ has promised us, a life of peace, a life of joy. Just want to step through those a little bit. Satan's relentless attack on the mind. Every day, Satan is trying to pull believers and people away from God. That's his mission. His favorite way to attack us is within our minds. He knows how powerful the mind is and how quickly it can be derailed, distracted, and persuaded. Many of these come to mind as negative thoughts meant to tear you down from the inside and to develop a mindset that reflects negativity. Some are more persuasive and appear to be positive as the thoughts enter our minds. But we need to be prepared to fact check those against how it aligns with our spirit. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But I wanted to kind of read a few of these typical attacks I think we see that Satan does in our mind. You're all alone. Do it. It'll feel good, right? That's a persuasive one that might seem positive. It feels good. Why wait when you can have it now? You know, this one, I think, is a huge one for, you know, my generation and my kids' generations, the generation of technology where everything is at a fingertip, where you don't have to wait. You don't have to watch commercials when you watch TV anymore. You can watch shows that have no commercials and you don't have to wait. So this one I kind of put in there because, you know, the why wait could have some detrimental effects if the thought doesn't align with our spirit. No one cares or believes in you. That's a negative one. You're a failure. Just give up. You're so dumb. These sound like playground insults, by the way, but, you know, again, Satan uses these little thoughts sometimes to start developing and building beliefs in our minds. You're not worth it. He has no use for you. You're just a sinner and that's all you'll ever be. That's too scary. Don't do it. That's too hard. You'll never achieve your goals. You know, obviously these are just a small sampling, but as you see in here, he'll use God and his tactics to build strongholds of negativity in your mind. I'm sure many of us have heard some of these same thoughts. Some of us may have heard it from other people towards us, and some of it as a result of our surroundings or events that have happened to us. But again, these are just a small sample of thoughts that Satan uses in our minds to try to attack us and bring us down. But they're lies. They're lies that have a direct effect on our attitudes in life and ultimately end up affecting how we interact with the people in our surrounding environments. You become what you're willing to accept in your mind. I believe that. And we can look to the Word to remind us of ways we can fight back against Satan's attacks. So I just wanted to show some quick bullets maybe about what we're going to talk in a little bit more detail about today. So here are some things you can do in the fight against Satan. You can ask yourself, where does my help come from? Think about what you're thinking about. That's kind of a funny way, funny phrase, but I'll talk in more detail about that one for sure. Practice taking control of your thoughts with God's help. And develop a habit of driving out negativity and embracing positivity. Satan is strong, but our God is stronger, and we believe that. We know the outcome. We know who won the battle between good and evil. And we need him in our lives and in our minds to be successful in our thought life. So where does my help come from in this battle that wages on in our minds? Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2 says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. First and foremost, we must look towards to God for help. And prayer is a great way to direct our focus and our minds on Him. And it's also a way of submission to God, asking for help. Sometimes asking for help is hard for a lot of us. I know in my day-to-day job, I struggle a lot. I want to figure it out myself, and I want to do it myself. But asking for help, and specifically asking for help in our minds and our thought life, is important. So I have up here Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, and this comes from the New Living Translation, the NLT. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. We've talked a lot about this verse in church because it's so versatile. Dana, I'm going to add that to our dad joke chain. But what I wanted to point out in this verse is that God's peace will guard your hearts and minds when you pray about everything. It's a peace that exceeds anything we can understand. The second half of that last sentence is another hint as to what we must do to feel this peace and protection. And it says, as you live in Christ Jesus. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So that's an act. That's a submission from us that we are to live in Christ Jesus, live like Christ. I love that the verse directs us to thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which guards our hearts and minds. Having a thankful heart is important to allowing God to work within you and in your mind to experience that peace. So God can help us. God can guard our hearts and our minds. Confiding in each other regarding our mental struggles and concerns for our thought life allow us to love each other in Christ-like fashion. This first one here, iron sharpens iron. We can lean on other believers for help as well. That comes from Proverbs 27, verse 17. Other areas, life groups, church leadership, other members of the body, again, they can help. We're all here to work together. Where two or three people meet in worship, Christ is with them. So again, that focus on Christ. You know, we could be there for each other to help with that ongoing battle that's in our minds with love and transparency. With that mutual focus on Christ, we open up yet another channel to God and an opportunity for more people to pray on our behalf as well. As we just read, prayer can lead to peace and protection for our hearts and our minds. So the next one's a little kind of silly when you read it out loud or think about it, but we're going to shift thoughts a little bit. I'm only about 100 pages into this book, so I still have much to learn, but I bought this the other day, Battlefield of the Mind, written by Joyce Myers. So far, I've enjoyed it. Some kind of thought-provoking stuff in there. But there's a chapter in here that's titled Think About What You're Thinking About. And I got this chapter title stuck in my head when I was writing this message. It sounds easy in theory, but it's a little more difficult in practice. What are you doing with the thoughts that come into your mind every day? Good thoughts and bad thoughts alike. Ever since I read that chapter, I've been actively trying to think about what I'm thinking about and compare those thoughts against the Spirit to verify that they align. If they align with the Spirit's will or the spirit's guidance in my mind, or if it doesn't. So you can ask yourself that same question. Does this thought come from the spirit, or does it come from the flesh, or does it come from somewhere else? Experiencing peace in our minds happens when our thoughts are in alignment with the spirit. And when our minds and thoughts are in alignment with the spirit, we can recognize and discard those thoughts that pull us away from God and that promised peace. We can also recognize the thoughts that need to be sent up to God for guidance and direction. You know, I don't know what to do with this thought, Lord. You know, please help me. Please help me understand if this is your will or my own. It's important as we think about what we're thinking about that we can recognize that alignment. So I've got some verses here that try to help us think about that alignment. This is from Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, again in the New Living Translation. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting your spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And there's that peace word again. The NIV, the New International Version, says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Think about what you're thinking about. If you are dominated by sinful nature, your thoughts will be sinful and lead to spiritual death. A mind led by the Spirit leads to life and peace. The Apostle Paul wrote this to remind us of that. I took notice of the start of the last sentence as it begins with, but letting your spirit control the mind. This implies that we are to submit that control to God and to the spirit that lives within us. When we do this, we have life and peace. Peace in our thoughts, peace with our decisions and our actions. But as we reflect on this, our thoughts, decisions, and actions will be different, because they will not be led by anything in this world, but will be led by the Spirit that guides within us. The next one I wanted to look at was 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. I don't have it up here, but again, it's the New Living Translation. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's spirit, lowercase s in this case, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit, capital S. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Again, think about what you're thinking about. We've received God's spirit as believers, so we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. What we don't deserve, God has freely given us that grace. And since we have received God's Spirit, capital S, we can know the thoughts of God. This is another passage to help us reflect on God's Spirit when thoughts enter our minds, to perform that alignment check. You know, we become mechanics, so to speak, in that we're doing an alignment check. Is this thought from God's spirit or from the world's thoughts? The world's spirit, lowercase s. Peace within the mind is one of those wonderful things that God has freely given us. And when we're battling Satan, when he attacks our minds with negative thoughts, we can choose to shift our thinking towards the wonderful things that God has freely given us. And by doing that, it also helps us shift our focus away from those negative strongholds that are being built towards God, towards that positive light. Next, we have Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you have heard and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. There it is again, peace. Peace when we're thinking about things that are honorable and true, fixing our thoughts. Think about what you're thinking about. Fix your thoughts. Focus on your thoughts. Focus your thoughts on these things. When you fix something in this context, it's not talking about a repair per se, but more so that you are securely latching or attaching to whatever it is you're fixating on. The Apostle Paul is saying, securely attach your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. This verse provides us with a list of things that we can focus on and know that it comes from the Spirit. Therefore, kind of that verification, that alignment check with the Spirit. A couple more in this think about what you're thinking about section. This one from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Again, in the NLT. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning, talking about thoughts, and destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. In the NIV, for this verse, a passage, it says, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So think about what you're thinking about. When we have thoughts that enter our minds, and our mind is in alignment with the Spirit, we hold those rebellious thoughts captive. And we teach our minds and our thoughts to obey Christ, to obey the Spirit. And it allows us to embrace the thoughts that we want to hold on to from Christ, the Spirit, and the thoughts that we don't want, that are going to develop strongholds of disbelief and negativity, we hold those prisoner and we give those to God. We don't let those develop any further in our minds. I like how it says in verse 4 that we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. We're going to use God's mighty weapons to destroy the things in our life that keep us from knowing God and keep us from a mind that's promised peace. All right, this is the last one in my section of think about what you're thinking about. We got Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, again in the NLT. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. For you died in this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So think about what you're thinking about. Set your sights on things above. Set your thoughts on things above. Interestingly enough, a prerequisite in this passage is that you've been raised to new life with Christ. Your life is made new in Christ as a believer. Your mind is made new in Christ when you give him your life. Setting your sights on things above focuses your mind away from Satan's attacks and onto the creator of the universe. Again, where our help comes from. Satan wants you to look down. He wants you to look down at your feet. He wants you to look down on yourself. He wants to build strongholds of negativity in your mind. But the Apostle Paul is reminding us that our real lives are hidden in Christ through God. He is saying that we will share in all his glory when Christ is revealed to the world. And we can take heart because he has overcome the world. We know this. So think of your eternal life above instead of drowning in the mire that the world sucks us into. We have been raised new so we do not have to look down. Keep your thoughts focused on the ones above. Okay, so we'll move on a little bit. Practice? Talking about practice? Yes, I am talking about practice, Mr. Iverson. As I mentioned before, our minds can be easily swayed, distracted, persuaded, and tricked. So it's important to practice and train our minds to seek God and his kingdom first, because he is our help and our protector in the battle for our minds. Practice takes effort. It takes patience. It takes some toughness. Takes endurance, consistency, and focus. In order to get better at anything, it doesn't matter what you want to get better at, it's the same approach. It's practice, practice, and practice. Practice some more. Tom Brady would also say drink lots of water. So my comment to that is let's drink lots of water from the well of eternal life while we're practicing. We can practice to be prepared for Satan's battle for our minds, but we must work on that every day. We must practice every day. And some days will be better than others, but it's important that we don't quit the practice. Because if we practice consistently enough, we can develop a habit of renewing our minds in Christ to not let Satan's worldly thoughts take over our mind. So practice spending time with God every morning. Seek God and his kingdom first. In Matthew 22, verse 37, we are commanded to love our God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. Jesus reminds us in verse 38, that this is the first and greatest commandment. Think and meditate on the words of worship music as you prepare for your day. Social media is typically very negative, and it drives our thoughts away from God and the peace that God provides. So in our mornings, as we try to develop some habits, spend less time on social media and more time in the Word, more time in devotions. I brought these down from my bedroom there. A small collection of different devotionals, daily devotionals. This one from Alistair Begg, John Haig, a few others. My Bible happens to be a devotional Bible, so it has devotionals built into the Word. It's important that we start our days on the right foot. I always say start the day with it because as our days get busy and we're going about our day, oftentimes we have a lot more of those mental distractions. Whereas first thing in the morning, kind of setting the tone for the day, it's always nice to spend time with God in quiet worship. Having a thankful heart. Sorry, lost my notes real quick. Having a thankful heart at the start of the day brings out joy, even if we know we're going to have a tough day. Knowing and believing that God is always with you brings a peace that surpasses all understanding. My morning time is always what sets me up for the day, sets my mind right. I use it as an opportunity to renew my mind, renew my focus on God every day. Romans 12, chapter 2, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." The NIV uses the phrasing, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Similarly, in Ephesians 4, 21 through 23, the Apostle Paul writes, "Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes." The NIV says, "to be made new in the attitude of your minds." With this focus on God, our minds will be transformed and renewed. And we could do this every day. And we should practice that, renewing our minds. And having said that, again, I need to be reminded of this every single morning. But don't ever stop renewing your mind. So I grabbed this verse for my practice section. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. "So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world." The NIV uses, quote, "with minds that are alert and fully sober." When our minds are not fully sober, we can lose our focus and let our guard down to allow Satan to advance his attacks in our minds. When we're not fully sober, our minds are physiologically altered, and we are unable to practice that self-control. And our minds are not in shape to focus on the battle waging within us. Practice and prepare. Practice and prepare our minds for action. That's what Peter's directing us in this passage. But repeated actions become habit. So try to create a habit of preparing our minds every day. With a prepared mind, we can not only experience the peace and joy amongst all the negativity that this world brings, but we will be prepared for any sort of attack that Satan puts in our minds. When I think of practice and preparation, I also think of the passage about putting on the full armor of God in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. The visual imagery of putting on armor evokes the preparedness for battle, the battle against evil and Satan. Practice putting on the full armor of God, like firefighters practicing putting on their turnout gear. They practice this so often that it becomes automatic when it is time to prepare for a firefight. We can practice in the same way to have our minds automatically fight away negative or improper thoughts that rob us from the peace and joy that is promised from God when we're in alignment. So lastly, habits. I put some stuff in here, developing a new habit. This is a quote from Katie Milkman, and I looked her up. She does exist. That's a real person. That's a real last name, Katie Milkman. She is at the University of Pennsylvania. Interestingly enough, she's in like the, what did I have in my notes? think she's like an economist or something, but habits are like shortcuts. They're things we can do quickly without thinking because we've done them so often, they become automatic. So for the longest time, it's been known that it takes 21 days to form a habit on average. One article I read recently when I was putting this message together said that based on their study, it actually takes more like 59 to 66 days on average for quick learners and 106 to 154 days for the slowest learners. So this article is saying that on average, it takes 2 to 5 months for a habit to fully become automatic. Long story short, everyone is different in how they come to develop habits, but the key is that it takes time and patience to truly solidify a habit. While you're developing a habit, sometimes it's good to identify triggers. Think hard on when your thought life tends to be the worst. If that's what we're trying to do, is develop a habit of having a positive thought life. Is it while you're scrolling social media? Is it when you're all alone by yourself? For me, typically it's when I'm alone and by myself, my thought life is at its worst. My mind begins to wander. There's an old saying derived from a proverb, from Proverbs. It's not verbatim, but an idle mind is the devil's workshop. So think about it. When we're left to our own devices and a lack of focus on things above, our human nature is to lean towards sin and sinfulness, and Satan wastes no time on our minds when we're in this vulnerable state to pull us in. Consistency is key. Much like anything you want to get better at, it's important to be consistent, especially when you're trying to make a new habit. When we're looking to make a habit of improving our thoughts and our thought life, consistency and our focus on Christ will create a shortcut to that peace that surpasses all understanding. And only God can provide. We can do it so often that it becomes automatic when our thought life begins to suffer. Again, we want that automatic alignment check as thoughts come into our mind. And if we practice and develop the habit of doing this little fact check, then we can quickly discern almost automatically what is good and true from God's Spirit and what's not. As I mentioned before, seek support in developing a new habit. Maybe, again, you're talking to fellow believers, people in our church, our church body, or church leadership, and being consistent. Use the plumb line. You know, I know a few years ago, David had an awesome message about framing in a door and the plumb line. That direct connection with God to allow him to guard and protect our minds from Satan's attack, that plumb line of prayer. Habit stacking, this one refers to folding in your new habit or whatever you're trying to develop as a new habit, part of your existing habits. Maybe it's your morning routine. You know, like for me, every morning, I wake up, I take the dog out, I feed her, then I take the dog back out. She doesn't finish her business all in one swoop. And then I come inside and make coffee before sitting on the couch to turn SportsCenter on to get caught up on yesterday's scores. You know, for the most part, this is my morning routine. And I always try to fold in my daily devotionals so I can have some time, again, to reflect on God's word, to set my mind focused on him. I know I can spend less time on SportsCenter and more time in the Word, which is part of what I'm trying to develop as a new habit. But I know I can improve on that. I can shut the TV off and spend more time and have less. less distractions in the morning. Start small. This one's self-explanatory, but powerful to understand. You know, biting off more than we can chew makes a habit sometimes unachievable or feel like it's unachievable. So start small. Maybe it's reading a few verses or just reading that one daily devotional every morning to help get your mind set up for the day. Maybe it's putting on a worship song, your favorite worship song, that again just sets your mind focus on God. And have a plan. Sometimes it's nice to write down, you know, what your plan is for developing your new habit. So as our worship team comes forward to close us in worship, I'm just kidding. You definitely don't want me to sing. Although I have been called the songbird of our generation. There is a battle in our minds every day, and we have a choice to stand up against the lies that Satan tries to place in our minds. We can choose to remember where our help comes from and reflect on whether those thoughts align with God's spirit that lives within each of us. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. If it doesn't align, give it to God and he will bring you peace. If it does align with God's spirit, pray for guidance and wisdom to navigate what God's will is for you in his life, in your life. We need to practice spending time with God every morning to start understanding. We need to practice spending time with God every morning to start your day with a renewed focus and a thankful heart. Practice praying constantly throughout the day, because God's peace that surpasses all understanding is yours if you ask for it. Prepare your minds for the battle with the reassurance that you are a child of God and that no one or anything can take that away from you. God's power is in your corner, so create a habit of leaning into that power and wisdom to know that your mind is protected from the evil that this world brings. Your mind will be protected with a true, consistent focus on God. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time this morning. We thank you for those who joined us online. And I'm thankful for this opportunity, Lord, to challenge myself to speak for you, that you speak through me, that your words will be heard, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you keep us all safe today as we go about our days, as we dig out from the snow. And we pray that Scott is enjoying his time as well down in Florida. And hopefully he brings some of that warmer weather back with him. We love you so much, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So thank you, everybody, for spending some time with me this morning. God throws us curveballs, so let's practice keeping the weight on our back foot and keep your eye on the ball, and you'll be victorious. Hope everyone has a safe day today and a great week, and have a great one. See ya.